Hello, I am Brian Foster, and today I'm talking about Spiritism. And today is Monday, February 21st, 2022. And we are having our usual Monday question and answers about Spiritism. Before I begin, let us have a short prayer. Dear Jesus, please inspire us to learn about the spirit realm, who we are, what our place is in it, how we can follow you, how can we derive inspiration from you and all your spirit helpers who help us in our everyday life and sends us signals and signs of the right path to follow. Please give us the impetus and energy to explore more. Amen. And so before I begin, if you are interested in Spiritism, what I suggest is you go to my blog site, www.nwspiritism.com. I have it on that website. I have my book in PDF form, Spiritism 101, The Third Revelation. You can download that for free. And you can also, it's also on Kindle, paperback, and in Audible format. The other books, the headwaters of Spiritism was codified by Allan Kardec in the 1850s. And I have those on my title page you're seeing now, which is the Spirits book, which I would, it depends which way you want. You can read the Spirits book first, but you may want to read Spiritism 101 first because it gives you a broad overview, and I think it will help fill in what they mean in the Spirits book. But then there's also Allan Kardec. Then he organized from his messages from many high spirits, organized by the Spirit of Truth, as promised by Jesus Christ in the New Testament, the Medium's book. Anyone interested in communication with spirits or who have mediumistic ability, this is a book you cannot miss. This is, I think, of anything I've seen, the most best overview of different spirits, how different mediums work, the powers of different mediums, how to tell spirits, low spirits that are talking to you, because as Allan Kardec said, you know, because spirits will come and they will try and fool you and tell you there's somebody they're not, but enough conversations will lead you to understand exactly what level they are. And Allan Kardec tells you what the different levels of spirits are. Another great book I'd recommend for people interested in Spiritism is The Gospel According to Spiritism. It really explains a lot of the New Testament. And also, if you are interested, I go, and I've been going through the Bible chapter and verse, and I've been going through, and there's a playlist, I think, called the Bible, the New Testament, on my YouTube video site. And I go through individual chapters and, you know, subsets of verses and try to explain what it's meant by Spiritism. Okay. Now, if anyone wants to ask questions, this is for you. This is for your question. So if you have a question, please put that in the comment section. You will have top priority. If I do not have questions in the comment section, I will go through them in what people do is they write questions and I will answer them in the comment section. So if you have a question and you're seeing this already pre-recorded, ask it in the comment section. I will copy and paste it and put it in this list. Let's begin. Let's bring this up. Oh, hit the wrong one. There we go. Okay, question is, when one prays, should we pray directly to God or to the people such as you mentioned, Confucius, Mother Mary, for example, like I've talked about, you know, Jesus Christ, of course. So that is really up to you. And let me say what I mean by that, is when you pray, it goes into, it goes up into the spirit world. Your prayer is always analyzed and somehow responded to. I mean, not how you want to be responded to, but it's always responded to. And so you, it's a, the act of praying to someone who's benevolent and good. Now, Mary has her whole organizations in the heavenly surroundings and heavenly levels of helping people. I'm sure Confucius does too. Jesus, of course, is our president and CEO of heaven, around the earth and other planets besides. I think he has a total of 5 planets that he's in control of. There are other spirits on the same level. There's spirits higher than Jesus. But to us, Jesus really is our Father. Jesus was here when the earth was made. So, you know, pray to Buddha or, you know, anyone like that. Your prayer will be answered. You know, and to God also, directly to God. Anyone who's a high spirit that came to earth, there's nothing wrong in praying for them. It will all end up analyzed and taken care of. Now, it may not be this life, it may be another life, and but it will be analyzed. Okay, let me take this one. I hope that answers that question. Do souls, next question. Do souls wait for each other to experience life together over and over to progress together? And the answer is yes, absolutely. I mean, and of course, there's some who don't, right? Some go their own way. There is also a wonderful story about a group, I think of seven women, who decided they were going to team up and they were going to always support each other in their lives. And maybe not they could, and maybe sometimes they couldn't all reincarnate together, but then they would wait and then they wouldn't rise up. There's different levels, right? There's some people have different numbering levels for heaven. Some people 1 through 3, and 7. And then in the books by G. Vowell, which I use, they say 1 through 10. And even they say, look, everyone has their different levels. There's a lot of different graduations. But as you go from one level to another, you actually get more energy and less matter. Your ratio of energy to matter goes higher. And you get more tools in your toolbox. You get more powerful. So these seven women, when one lay behind, they would help that one, and they would only, or two or three, whatever it was, and they would want to rise in the levels of heaven together, and they were allowed to do that. And then there's whole families that will go life after life. In the book, in fact, right behind me is 2,000 years ago, there is a husband and wife, and then there's actually another husband and wife in 50 years after this, after that book, and this husband and wife was a senator and his wife. This other woman loved the husband, you know, and she had her maid. And this woman got the maid into that family, and the maid actually sabotaged the woman and made the man leave her, right? And so it was all this drama going on in real life. Well, the man and woman were reincarnated together again. And guess who they had as two of their daughters? The woman who tried to split them up and the maid that tried to help the woman split them up, because the spirit world does not like unresolved conflicts. This is why Jesus said, forgive 70 times 70, because spirits, and this happens to people quite often, unfortunately, spirits, if they think you've done them wrong, they'll try and obsess you. And when they're in the spirit world and you are in the physical world. So, yeah, and these, hopefully these spirits will soon learn that they're just hurting themselves, because karma takes care of everything. Anyone who does wrong will learn in subsequent lives not to do that again. So the overall impetus is for family groups to reincarnate together over and over again. And this can happen for hundreds of years, maybe 1,000 years. And this one thing, this was done over almost 2,000 years, that these people would come together and they'd have maybe the same daughter. Now, is it always perfect? No. So some family groups, they volunteer to have a more primitive spirit as part of their family group, so that primitive spirit can be part of a good family and try and rise. And this is kind of what you see sometimes. You see is called the black sheep of the family. You'll see, you know, like a group of 4 or 5 kids that are just wonderful. And that sixth kid or that fifth kid, like, that, you know, did they come from that family? And the answer is, well, biologically, yes, they did. But they were not part of that same level of spirituality, right? Because the law of affinity puts like with like, right? People who are kind and generous and supportive of each other, they tend to be together in the different levels of heaven where they fit. And the obverse is true, where in the lower zones in the dark abyss, people who are criminals and together tend to be together, right? And of course, this is how the spirit world fights evil. They use evil to fight evil. If you don't, you know, if you're not a good person, you'll be with other not good persons. And then you can see how you like that. So the answer is yes, is not a rule. It's voluntary, but a lot of people do that and they work together. And you'll see that even in the books in No Solar. In fact, the first book, No Solar, in the series of Andre Luiz, talks about a family that, you know, they were married and they'll come together. And then you'll see the opposite too, where a person will be married and go, I don't want to be married to that person again, you know. And so you'll see both. But yes, the souls who want to, they absolutely do that. Okay, next question. Of course, if you have any questions, please put those in the comment section. What about cloning? How would this science help our society morally progress? You know, I don't know. I mean, that is just, cloning is just physical. And so I don't see that. I mean, you would clone DNA and genetic traits. But let's talk about reincarnation for a second. You can make your own opinion. When someone who is on the lower zone or who is going to come to Earth and not be very important, this person would usually have a pretty natural birth. At the moment of conception, and I mean the moment of conception, that soul would be tied to that fertilized egg. And they would use the combined DNA of the two parents. Now, when someone special, like a doctor, a surgeon, or someone special, I mean, is coming into the world, there will be spirits around when the moment of before the moment of conception. They will actually pick the lucky, you know what, the fertilized egg. I can't say the word because we're on YouTube and who knows what YouTube does. They might actually pick that, right, to provide the DNA. Then, when the DNA starts in that fertilized egg, they can also make subtle changes to the DNA, like a surgeon, give them better eyesight, right? Or steadier hands. They can do a lot of things that will actually make that person have a better probability of fulfilling what their role on this earth will be to help society move forward. So cloning is, you know, the basic set of DNA for people who are relatively will not modify or make a big splash on this world. That can work, but I don't see how it's going to help our society morally progress. So I don't think it will, but you know, who knows what the spirit world will use that for, because what we think we use things for, just like scientists, as the spirit Emmanuel said in one of the forewords, I think it was in the Realms of Mediumship, when he was talking about, you know, scientists who you know, who think they don't really believe in God or an atheist, they don't know it, but they're actually moving forward the day when we will have proof of the spirit world. They're actually making discoveries that will end into this, even though they don't really realize that. Okay, here I have a question. Okay, I love the hurrah. Okay, so salutations. If no memorial funeral by a family, does it bring the deceased hurt or grief and keep them earthbound? Can one still do a private memorial? And you know, that's a good question. And the answer is fuzzy. The answer is all depends. If a spirit is a high spirit, they don't care. Like me, if I die, not that I'm high spirit, but at least I've talked about spiritism, I believe. It's like, I don't even want anybody wasting their time on my funeral. Why waste your time? It's a happy spot for me. It should be like, funeral should be like a Irish funeral, which I've been. My mother was Irish. And, you know, people drink and they're happy and because you're going to a better place. That's how funerals should be. They should not be subdued. They should be happy celebrations that, you know, you're out of here and you're hopefully you're going to another place. So many instances, no, it does not hurt at all. But some who are tied to the earth and they want to see the number of friends who come to that funeral, who attend the funeral. It makes them feel better. Now, it may, and it's just a good question because I don't know how to answer this, is it may, you know, if they feel bad about it and they're materialistic, they make it keeps them earthbound, right? It's all about their attitude, right? If their attitude is, oh, this is horrible, and I'm just going to hang around here and feel sorry for myself, then they'll be kept earthbound. That's why at any funeral, it should always be positive and pray for the newly deceased and say, look, be happy, raise your eyes up. You'll see higher spirits that will lead you to the light. Because a lot of them don't even, high spirits come and try to help them, or their friends of deceased before them will come and try and help them, and they don't even see them because they just, you know, they're still concentrated on the earth. And yes, you can always do a private memorial and always do it in good cheer. And that will, you know, when you pray for someone who's recently deceased, they will get that message and it will make them feel better. It'll make them think you're thinking of them. But, you know, but what you don't want to do, as I said before, is say, oh, especially the ones where, oh, I need you. Why did you leave me? And like these poor wives and husbands, you know, God bless them all. And I understand what they're doing. They say, why did you leave me? I can't live without you. And all it does is it makes that spirit in heaven drawn to the earth, right? It's gonna take their eyes off the ball where they need to start learning how to go into their new world and how to start learning and how to start feeling better about themselves and learn about themselves as a spirit. And you're just making it tougher for them. So if you do a private memorial, be happy. Say, hey, you're in a good place. Concentrate on your studies, you know, come and talk to me whenever you feel like it. And, you know, I can always use your help, but hey, do what you need to do. So I think that is really what one should do. Okay. Next question. How can we be in the era of regeneration when the evidence of moral decline is not only prevalent, but glamorized socially, video, social media, TV, etc.? Exactly. I say that all the time. So we are not in the era of becoming a planet generation. We're just in the preparation stage. So, and I think you touched upon a good thing. That is why I believe some pretty dramatic events will be happening over the next decade or two. Because we've been told, and this is, I think it's in the Spirit's book, you cannot become a planet of regeneration until begin the step, right? There's, you don't just like switch a light and everything's better, right? So it's always a progress until more than 50% of the people are people that will, are good people, and people that would, who would normally die would rise to heaven. Well, back in, I think in the 60s or 70s, Chico Xavier once said about 30% of the people go to heaven. So we would have to have a pretty steep increase in the, you know, another 20% of people who are good. So that would have to be something big to happen for that to occur. Now, what people who knew Chico say is that we will really start our trek and a better government and more enlightened people around the middle of 2050. So I am with you. I believe, I mean, I was like, okay, something big has to happen. There has to be, you know, aliens come down and tell us, look, there is the spirit world, right? We're going to have some other confirmation because I don't see it now. But as said in the Spirit's book, when Jesus and God want something done, it gets done. So I prepare myself to see some spiritually big things happen to the earth. Now, I know what I've also been told is people like Socrates and Buddha are going to be incarnated on earth again. And so that should make a pretty big splash, and that could change people. Because, you know, as once that tide turns, it can turn fast, right? And people get on the bandwagon. Just like we've had this horrible tide turning of this idiot wokeness, right? And then you have all these corporations on the bandwagon, which is just the only word I can say for that is pathetic. But hope it can turn again. That's my hope. So I'm right with you. Okay. Next question. Where does your mind or spirit go when you lose touch of reality completely and go full-blown insane? Well, so remember, you are composed of three parts, your spirit, your paraspirit, and your body. So right now you're in your body and you use that subset that is severely limited of your physical brain. If you're completely out of kilter mentally, your spirit is still okay. Your spirit will get what you're thinking and your spirit will send messages back and forth via your paraspirit to from your body to your spirit. But it's just like if you get, let's just take the thing, you get shot in the head and your brain's turned and you, like you're paralyzed or you become severely mentally disabled, your spirit brain is still fine. No accident can befall you that will destroy your spirit brain. So your spirit brain is still intact. So it's always there. And when you sleep, you go back into your spirit brain and you're probably thinking, oh boy, this I'm not doing too well on Earth. Or you're going around the lower zone trying to repair what you think is happening. It can probably be pretty a pretty tough trial, but your spirit brain can be influenced by your physical brain sometimes of your losing your touch of reality, and you may go wander in different areas, but you're never completely disabled. I hope that helps. Okay, another question. I think all religions, including Christianity, have been corrupted and twisted into the ones you see now. Do you think that is true or not? Yes. And it's, look, you can't just say religions have been corrupted. Because there's people who say, oh, I hate religion, it's killed a lot of people. But then you go, well, look at governments, right? Yes, religion has been responsible for a lot of death, but in the 20th century, I'm sorry, but you've got communism and fascism. They blew past that record. So it's like you really have to look at it as anything touched by imperfect humans. This is organizations, colleges, universities, businesses will become corrupt because we have inferior spirits who are not basically good people, power hungry, psychopaths type people who will rise to the top because they'll stab anybody in the back to rise to the top because the good people, and I've seen it, right? I'm sure a lot of people have seen it when they work. You know, every time I've had like a really nice, good boss, when I've worked, that person's always been eventually stabbed in the back and replaced by a raving lunatic who've just hurt the company a lot. But, you know, at the time they were saying all the right things to the right people. So, yes, absolutely. And that is why Spiritism came and they said, look, we're going to open up. We're not, before they said they tended to have the priestly class, whatever religion, would be the ones that were given visions and prophecies and all that. But they kept them to themselves, or they kept it and they eked it out in order to get more money and power. That's not going to happen now. There are going to be people from all walks in life, whatever religion, or no religion, they'll start getting visions, and the amount of mediumship will go up dramatically in our generation and going forward. And so that will get the words out, and that will open up things so the priestly class can't just, you know, use that to control the populace. And that's what's, you know, even Spiritism, I'm sure, and, you know, anything. So I would say just consider anything that have humans in charge of it will be somewhat corrupted. So, you know, don't blame, some people blame like Jesus. Well, No, Jesus said a lot of great things. And even in the Bible, it's been somewhat corrupted, right? Because they picked what passages, they changed certain passages in the Bible, say what they wanted to say. They tried to take out things about reincarnation, etc. But still, overall, still a wonderful book. But, and as Spiritism tells us, the messages of love and charity and fraternity are eternal. Other things were affected by the level of the populace, of technology, and the sociological considerations at the time. They couldn't just say, be nice to everyone, because, you know, no one would listen to that, right? They always, so you have to gauge that too. I hope that answers that question. Okay. Another question. I'm trying to get through being cheated on by my boyfriend. I'm very heartbroken. Is there any advice from Spiritism? Yes, there is. And there was this wonderful vignette. And this woman medium was very jealous of her husband. And she was just like a wonderful medium, calm and cool. But as soon as the session was over, she just like, ah. And then she would go rush, right? And then so at that night, she fell asleep. And then these two other spirits said, oh, yeah, your husband's cheating on you. We'll take you to where he is. And they took her when she was like astral plane, right, in her dream. And she saw her husband was fooling around with these two women in a bar. And then the high spirit came and said, it goes, well, yeah. What, you are you perfect? He goes, do you expect everyone to be as perfect as you? He goes, do you expect that there be no problems, no hurdles? I mean, you know, you're here on earth to help other people. That means helping your husband learn that that is not the right behavior. You know, don't, nothing physical, nothing like that, but help him through this. You know, he, you know, who knows why he's doing this? So this is something where you have to have this 10,000 foot level, and you have to know that everyone is on different levels of spirituality, and some of them are still really tied to their desires in life, and some of them are not so tied, and they're tied to more being honorable and true to one person. Now, your boyfriend could be a very good person, but he's still not that level of spirituality when he can deny the fact that if someone comes on to them, he can say, no thanks, right? So recognize that, because also recognize that is nothing happens without a purpose, right? So the fact that you're going through a trial where your boyfriend cheated on you, and you're feeling what that feels like, right? You're going, oh, you know, I feel horrible. Well, okay. Please remember this. In some previous life, you did that to somebody else, right? For every action, there is a reaction. And then just tell yourself, okay, I know what that feels like. Then you can make the decision is to talk it through. Say, you know, look, I know what you're doing. And can you not do that again? Or you can say, ah, this is over, and I will go on to the next. But you have to look, the way to really look at your life, and I know very well that me saying this is easy, but you feeling it is hard, right? But the more you study Spiritism and you look at people's lives and the trajectory of people's lives, because we've all done wrong, right? We've all done horrible things. And therefore, people are going to do horrible things to us. And instead of taking things personally, you look at people who do things, and sometimes even good things to you, for you, is you look at them as an actor in a play. You, Kendra, are the star of the play. And as you go through each scene, other actors will come on stage right and leave stage left. And they will be there to elicit certain stimuli from you so you can learn and become a more fuller person. But they're an actor. And then after the play's over, some actors could be really good to you, and some actors could play the part that's really bad for you. But then when after the play's done, like when you're back in the spirit world, they all talk at the bar together and have a good time. So you kind of have to make it these things less personal and say, you know, and even if you leave your boyfriend, say, God bless you. I hope you well. I'm just not, you know, you're not the person I want to be with, but God bless you. You know, it's you who you are, who you are. And the spirit world will create situations where they will learn. And I know it's hard. I'm sure it's difficult, but the spirit world will create situations where they learn not to give in to those emotions. And we all do, like, you know, I've done that in the past too. So give in to my emotions and my desires. And we all need to really learn to listen to our conscience and do what our conscience tells you. That's why we're on earth. So I hope that is the advice, is really try to raise yourself up, look at different people at different spiritual levels, and forgive them for, you know, where they are, right? You can't teach a kindergartner calculus. It's not going to work. Okay. Next question. Okay, this would be me. My husband has gone 3 years now, and I still need him here, and I miss him so much. Yeah, and I know. And that is, this is when we were talking about tying people back down to the material world. And this is hard, and it's okay to miss him. But what you kind of need to do is to replace that power of missing with the focus of saying, God bless you. Is wish him well and wish him that he can recover, do what he needs to, become a better person in the spirit world. Because sooner or later, and it's not much time in spirit time that we'll be here on earth, you'll meet him and you'll be with him. And you want him in a good position so he can help you pass on when you're ready to get rid of your physical body. So you need to take that grief and try to turn it 180 and make it positive energy for him. And then ask him, look, in a nice way, if guide me if you can. If you can't, that's fine. Or have police, spirit world, send other ones to help guide me in my life, help me make, you know, help me feel a little bit better so I can become stronger for him. That is what I would suggest. And of course, again, as I told the other person, you know, me saying it is easy. Changing your feelings, it's tough. But for both of you that I've talked about with your these are really difficult feelings. This is exactly, and I mean exactly, a trial that's meant to change your basic character and personality. Is analyze yourself. Learn how to forgive. Learn how to handle grief, right? Because Spiritism says pain is the great teacher. And you're both going through pain. And you're learning things from it. And you're learning things, and you're not being punished for punishment. You're learning things. It is to edify you, to make you stronger, to make you smarter, to make you a better, more loving person. So if you can rise above that, then you are a winner. Okay, another question: what actually is spiritual warfare? Is it real? And if so, how do you actually do it if you're not Christian but are being attacked by spirits? So spiritual warfare is not dependent on any one religion. So let me explain that to you. Excuse me, I had a drink. So spiritual warfare is when it happens that when a person starts to let go of their materialistic ideas and they become more spiritual, the lower zones and the inferior low spirits do not want anyone to become more spiritual because, as I said before, we begin a plan of regeneration when we have over 50% of the people look to the light and become better people, right? And why do they fear that? Why do they care? Because once you become a plan of regeneration, those people in the lower zones and the dark abyss, a kind of purgatory, there's no eternal damnation, but everyone's rescued when they change their character and look to the light. But what happens is the primary generation, those lower spirits, they don't get to be on Earth anymore. This is where the apocalypse happens, by the way. This is the wheat from the chaff, as told in the Revelation. It happens in the spirit world. Those people, if they didn't get with the plan, they're in a plan of atonement, and they're not improving. Some of them on the cusp may still be part of regeneration. That's why it's not perfect world yet, but it's going to be. Planet of regeneration will start somewhere around year 2050, in the middle of that. So, and it'll last about 7,000 years. So it'll be a progression. It won't be a click on, as I said before. So they don't want that to happen because they'll be sent to other planets and maybe a primitive planet or another planet of atonement, but in the lower rank, because we've been in the planet of atonement, right? Probably, let's say, from Egypt to Rome to the Middle Ages, et cetera, right? So, you know, here you've lived in a pretty, a posh apartment in some big city, and you had indoor plumbing, air conditioning, and heating. Well, then you're back on another planet of atonement, but all that's not there. You know, you may have a fire in the middle of a tent, right? They don't want to do that. So when you display that you want to become a better person, you're going to have all these influences on you saying, no, you don't want that. And they'll do it very subtly and very smartly too. They will say, no, that's not, you don't want to waste your time studying that stuff. Go make some more money or go have a drink, right? Or try drugs or something like that. That is spiritual warfare. And it's done on there's no one too small or too inconsequential to try and stop them from turning their eyes towards being a better person. And that doesn't mean you have to be Christian. You don't have to be baptized, nothing. Just if, even if you're an atheist and you said, and you're thinking, I need to be a better person. I need to start really helping people below, around me and, and meditating about them. That's, they'll attack them too. They don't want good people. That's what spiritual warfare is. So that's how it's done by these low-level spirits. The way to try to combat it is to really learn to filter out these inspirations. These can be very subtle and smart, like, things like, well, your friends don't really like you, so just leave them. And they may have been a group of friends that really encourage you to become a better person. And you could have this intuition that they're talking behind your back or all of these little things that was like, pique you, right? So don't fall into that. Filter everything through your conscience. And if you make a decision and you feel stressed about it, then you probably know it's the wrong decision. If you feel comfortable about it, say, I know my friends may gossip a little bit, but I'm not worried about that. I'm imperfect too. I'll still go with my group of friends. They give me good advice and I like them. That's what you need to do. So I hope that helps. And then Kendra about the boyfriend, she says, thank you very much. That's some very helpful advice. Well, excellent. I'm glad it is. Okay. Which Kardec book, which you mentioned in the beginning, that identifies the levels of spirits? I believe it is in both books. I think it's in the spirits book. I'm pretty sure it's in the spirits book. And you can, of course, download that for free in PDF. You can also go on my blog site, nwspiritism.com. I have it all in MP3 and in Audible format that you can also download. It takes two files in Audible format. It's pretty big. And I also have a whole playlist called The Spirits Book, and I go chapter by chapter if you want to hear it. But, and of course, you can also buy it from Amazon or the FEB. If you click on the picture of Allan Kardec on my blog, it'll take you to the FEB bookstore. And I believe the Spirits Book and the Book of Mediums is actually cheaper than you can buy it on Amazon. I think they sell those almost at a loss. Really nice of them to do that. So, yes, you can also go to my blog and I think you go down the right-hand side where they've got like a search thing and to say levels of spirits, and you'll find an article about it and find that there too. So, and I've written articles about it and talked about it. You'll find a YouTube video of mine on it too. If you say levels of spirits, spiritism, space, Brian Foster, that should find it pretty fast. But I would say Spirits Book and the Book of Mediums. Okay. What has happened to me if one day all of a sudden I'm remembering previous lives that I have lived? Well, okay, so it's kind of hard when you just, without coming back and forth, but I would say they usually, and I don't know this for certain, but I believe this is true. A lower spirit can't unlock those memories for you. So the question is, if you're remembering previous lives that you've lived, is that helping you understand what's going on? If so, that was a spirit assisting you. Is it making you worse? And so try not to let it make you worse. Try and understand what that new knowledge brings to you. It should bring to you faith that of why you're going through what you are and how you can improve. And so usually what happens is spirits can unlock memories, and they'll do that. And I've seen lots of instances in that where a spirit will be trying to obsess. Let's take an example. Will be trying to obsess somebody. And they're like, oh, you did this to me. And then a higher spirit will come and okay, look. You want to know why they did that to you? And then they will unlock that memory. Go, look, let's look at the whole picture. And then that memory will come back and I go, oh, okay. I mean, like, oh, I did that? Because in our minds, we're always innocent and good and wonderful, right? We've never done anything wrong. This always cracks me up about people with past life regressions. And I keep saying, be prepared, because, you know, you're still on a planet of atonement. You're not that good of a person if you're here by definition. And they go, oh, okay. And so I'm hoping that's maybe tells you why that spirits are bothering you, or and you can say, okay, I understand, and then try to bless those ones, because that's really how to get rid of obsessors, is to reason with them and ask forgiveness. Because you've probably done something wrong to them. I'm sure you have something terribly wrong. But then again, that doesn't mean that they didn't do someone wrong, even worse, in their past lives, right? So they need to understand that too. And maybe the same person, the same high spirit that's letting you remember your previous lives is letting those people that are bothering remember their previous lives so they can see the whole picture. And that will open up a lot of things to them. It's very interesting, these things. Point, there will be a FJN. Actually hit the send button. Apologies. Okay, no problem. Okay, here's another question. What is heaven, and what do you do to get into heaven? Is everyone's heaven personalized for them, or is this one big place? So I would recommend the best way is to learn how to get in heaven is to really try to live a nicer life and try to adhere to the golden rule, which is in almost every religion, is do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And one of the best things I ever read was a poem by Andre Louis. It had 24 stanzas on how to step by step become a better person. And I went through each stanza in my book, How to Live Inner Peace Through Spiritism. Again, that's in audible format, in paperback and in Kindle. And it will show you, you know, what steps you need to do to resolve yourself, renew yourself, and to become have more patience, have more love, have more faith, understanding of people, how to be a good friend. All those things are important steps in making yourself a beacon of light for your friends and other people around you of that you can help and help yourself. And then the next question is everyone's having personalized. Oh, what do you get to do in heaven? Okay, I see. I misunderstood the question. What do you get to do in heaven? Oh, I misread that. My apologies. So heaven, there are vast number of tasks and jobs in heaven. So first of all, the first thing I want to say is, and this is right in the Spirit's book, is heaven is not the Elysian Fields, right? It's not where you sit in a recliner on the beach with a cocktail with the umbrella in it, and or you play the harp in clouds forever. In fact, even the Spirits and Spirits book said, if that was the case, this would indeed be hell, right? Because you'd be bored out of your wits. So heaven is a place where you keep learning. And that's why heaven wants intellectually curious people, and they want self-disciplined people, like any good company or organization wants people that are self-disciplined and want to work and want to help. It's a place to serve. So there are jobs we don't even know of, but let's get from the mundane first. And let's talk about Nosolar. The city of Nosolar is talked about in the book Nosolar and some subsequent books there. And it's, let me get right here. And he goes, Gabriel, I read Mr. Foster's book, Heaven and Below, and it's like a university of sorts. Yes. And it's also, if you read the second book, you'll even learn more about how spirits are educated. So let me carry on. So in the city of Nosolar, there are functions like the water department, right? The transportation department. There's also the department that communicates with Earth. There's a department that communicates with above. There's even a defense force because it's down at the lower levels and you have inferior spirits who maybe try to get in. There are teachers. There are writers. There are musicians. There are people that give lectures. They give concerts. And then there's all these things. Then there's teams of spirits that as you're learning, you will go down into the levels of the lower zone on Earth and so forth, and you'll help errant spirits, meaning spirits that are not physically alive, but you'll help them rise. You'll be of service to them. There was this one medium that said her job was to help people who had recently passed over understand that they did pass over. There are those who then, when they come up and they're just newly passed over, they'll come and talk to them. They'll help them in their life plan. There's a reincarnation pavilion where they will plan out and help them plan out their life blueprint, their project plan, and their body. They'll actually see their body, right? Because when you're there, you'll help design your body. So there is all sorts of things to do. Now, you don't have to work if you don't want to work. You can just sit around, do nothing, but you'll be bored after that. And then as you're doing these jobs, you'll also be going to like different levels of schooling. And I talk about this in my second book of what you actually learn. And in the great book, Memoirs of a Suicide, he went over and said, oh, these are some of my classes, like the spirit processes, the processes of the physical world, the processes of the spirit world. What is universal fluid? How do you manipulate fluid? And so you learn. And then when you combine your knowledge of the physical world with your more increased ability to love and be charitable, you'll rise to the next level. And then you'll go to universities and you'll go the next level. And again, you'll have to rise in your spiritual maturity and your wisdom and knowledge, and you'll rise and you'll rise again until eventually you're at the top level of heaven surrounding the earth. And then you'll graduate. And then you'll be in another level, which I don't know how far it goes, but then you'll actually become a productive member of the spirit society where you'll help lead animals and plants, the evolution of animals and plants. You'll help lead whole races and cultures, countries, into becoming from a primitive planet up to a planet regeneration and on. So these are all things you'll go. You won't get bored. I guarantee you, you're not going to get bored when you're in heaven. So I hope that helps. Oh, I'm going to ask the second part of that question, though, too. Is it just one big place? Is everyone's heaven personalized for them, or is it one big place? So sometimes you'll read that you make your own heaven. And I understand why people say that, because thought is action in heaven. You can create an environment. You can create your own houses, create mountains, etc. But you have to be pretty higher. So, but think of this. The law of affinity puts like with like. And therefore, you'll be with other people on the same similar level as you. And thoughts permeate everywhere. So you'll get their thoughts, and so there'll be a collective view of that level of heaven. And then you rise up and there'll be a collective view of that next level of heaven. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go off on yourself and compartmentalize in one area, build your own house, build your own lake, right? Your own dock on that lake, your own ship. It doesn't mean you can't do that, because you can. But it's you know, you're not completely godlike where you can create the whole universe at that time. And plus, you know, and when people say, well, you create your own heaven. Well, okay, come on. How many of us sit and think, okay, and when I die, I'm going to create my own heaven. I mean, am I going to have people in it? At what level of people I'm going to have in it? Am I going to be bored? You know, so I'm not going to have universities there. Where will I transport? I mean, it's just not practical at our level of spiritual maturity. And that's why, so you have powers that you create what you want within that common view of heaven. Now, there's lots of different cities and regions in heaven, and there's different levels, and there's different fantastic areas in heaven that you will not get bored of going to. Okay. Another question. When you get to heaven, are you reborn starting as a baby again, or are you just the age you died? So when you get so when you go to heaven, let's say you die when you're 60 years old. But no, you're not born again. You pass over and your paraspirit, you look like you're 60 when you first pass over. But as you get to heaven, remember, thought is action, and your paraspirit will respond to what your thoughts. And then, because then you'll start thinking to yourself, well, you know, I like when I looked like when I was about 35. You'll start looking younger. If you died when you were like 18, you may remember what your previous form was or your form is, and you'll think, no, I like to look like I'm 25. And you'll look like you're 25. This one woman I was talked about, she was at a very young age, admit Jesus Christ. Like, I think she's 14 or something like that. And when she died, she kept looking like she was 14, even though she was a mature spirit. But that's, you know, to her, that was so fantastic that when she was there at the time of Christ on earth, that she wanted to look like that. And that's how her mind fixated on that. That's how she looked when she was in heaven. She looked like a young girl. Another example of a man who wasn't a nice guy, you know, wasn't terribly evil, but was nice. And he had struggled through the lower zone and rose up in heaven. And he'd done a good job. He'd actually reformed himself. And he went to this place and they said, do you recognize those people over there? Because he'd been by himself, right? And he had a wife and children. And he said, well, I recognize the boy and the girl. Those are probably my kids, but there's this other girl next to her, and I don't know who that is. And that was really her wife, his wife, I should say, who thought of herself as being younger. So she looked about the same age as his daughter, because that's the age they wanted to look like when they're in heaven. So I hope that explains that. Now, some children who die, so when a child dies, some mature spirits will then say that they were just sent on earth to be a child to help their parents learn something or do something, and they'll come right back as a mature spirit. But some children will die and they will stay a child, like a, I think it was like a 15-year-old boy. He actually wrote a book, and I forgot the name of the book. It's one of the books by Chico Xavier. And you can find it on the FEB website. And then he was taken to school, and he was kind of raised through that middle school or junior high and high school type age, where as he learned, he felt himself more mature, and he appeared more mature, right? Because it's the mind. There's no cells in your body that mature because of time, because there's no time in the spirit world. So those children who relive their childhood, in fact, actually being a teacher of children and a caregiver of children is a very important job in the spirit world, are what I believe were probably in previous lives, they were adults and all that, right? But I believe that they had been so kind of had so many problems that they were given kind of a reset, kind of like a reboot on your laptop or phone, right? When things go off, they'll reboot it and you'll start fresh. And I think the people who died in childhood and who stayed children were given this reboot so that they could try and become better people and next time they incarnated and to try to reform their character for the good. We may have all been through that. I don't know. So there's a lot. I mean, the intricacies of the spirit world is really interesting. And their whole aim is to try and help and foster you that you can become a better person. And they'll do all sorts of things to help that. Now, for us here on Earth, you know, it's just like a four-year-old being punished because they ran across the street without looking, right? And then you put them in a corner and they think you're like the worst parents in the world. We do not like being corrected either. We have pride and and selfishness, but it's all for our own edification. It is tough. But the more you can understand spiritism and the spirit world and why you're here to become a better person, really to transform your character, right? This is the hardest job in the world. You're rewiring your brain. You're throwing off everything that your culture and society have told you is, you know, work as hard as you can, be prideful, be selfish, right? Get as much as you can, you know, stomp on the little guy to rise above. Not everybody, but this is like a pervasive message we hear. Not all the time, but this is, you know, these messages are exact opposite of what we should do. And this is just living a normal life is a heck of a trial. And trying to filter that out through what your conscience, which is given to each of us, our conscience and our instinct, right? And as the more lives you go, the more powerful that conscience will be. Okay, we'll do the last question here. Okay, what do you think happened to Bonnie and Clyde in the spirit realm? Well, that's easy. They went into the lower zone or the dark abyss. They weren't nice people. They shot people. They stole. They were criminals. And they were with others like them. Now, hopefully, that doesn't mean they'll be there forever. That means that they two things can happen. They can either be there and they say, I don't like this. I want to be better. And they would be rescued by higher spirits, taken to kind of the lower levels of heaven or outposts in the lower zone. And they'd be led and they would be schooled in heaven and learn new things and try to help their personality and character. And then they'd be reincarnated and say, okay, here's your plan. Or they could stay in the lower zone or the dark abyss, depending on their attitude and their character. And at a certain time, they'd be reincarnated as decided by high spirits in the time and place of the high spirits choosing. When you are in heaven, you work with your spiritual mentors and your friends, and you plan out your life and you plan out your body. And but when you're not, you're given what they think is best for you. So what about gun makers? So I think guns are a tool that can be good, right? They're used for hunting. They're used for people to defend themselves, which there's nothing wrong in that. And so I think it's, you know, now if you're making If you're just making those type of guns, I don't see anything bad about that. But to really work in the defense industry and to make atom bombs and things like that, that I think that is a bit of a mark against you. It's also like being in the alcohol industry. I mean, if you're just making wine for enjoyment, but if you're making really powerful spirits to get people drunk, that's a black mark against you. That, you know, that's not, it's, you know, nothing you can't overcome. It's not like you're purposely committing some horrible wrong, right? You're not a criminal. I'm just saying that it's not a good place to be. It's like if you're a drug dealer, again, that's not a good place to be. Maybe if you're not taking drugs, but you're giving drugs to people, right? That's not a place you want to be. You want to be helping people. And it's like me, right? I really enjoyed working in the medical instruments. And I enjoyed that because we were making things that help people. But then I started working in the finance industry. And you could say the finance industry was a place to help people too, to a certain extent. But there's also a lot of taking advantage of people. And like when I worked for a company called WAMU that went broke during the Great Recession, they said that their favorite customer, right, was the 25-year-old divorced woman who couldn't control her finances because she'd overdraw and they would charge her all sorts of fees. And I didn't like that. And then they got these, you know, and these banks, the other banks I worked at, where, you know, they would do all these IPOs and stuff, and they knew the company wasn't worth anything. And so there's good and bad in everything. You just have to kind of do what you can, do as well as you can. You have to have a job sometimes. And I didn't work in those departments. I worked in another department. It was a, you know, commercial department, loans for apartments, stuff like that, which I thought was doing a service. So it's not easy. Okay. I heard when someone had a spiritual awakening, they stopped hunting. Yeah. Cause you don't want to kill animals. Like spirits tell us we really shouldn't eat, meat. Now I haven't been able to do that. I've said before, my wife and I, we're trying to do better. Eating fish, I think is okay. But, and then even probably chicken, but you know, beef, stuff like that, pork, not a good idea, but you know, here I do it. So yeah. And anyone who wants to be good. Now, milk and eggs are perfectly fine. And I think fish too. Eggs, cheese, there's nothing wrong in that at all. Another Winchester's home is haunted by people who were killed by the rifle. Interesting. I hadn't heard that. I can see why that would happen. Yeah. That's the problem with being a gun manufacturer. But then again, they could have been killed by knives or by hands or anything like that. So, these spirits probably blame the gun. They actually should have blamed the person who used the gun. Okay, for what spiritual reasons would you have become mentally ill with schizophrenia and become morbidly obese for one quarter of your life? I can't really answer that, except that there's always a reason, and the base reason is first, always go to your own doctor. Follow their advice, your psychiatrist or psychologist. And Spiritism says the same thing. Always go to your own doctor. But what Spiritism does say is a lot of times these things can be, now it could be organic, right? That can happen. A lot of times these things can be from spirits that you've done wrong in the past, and they're trying to obsess you. And as part of that obsession, they try to make you eat more, to make you physically weaker. And if you're concentrating just on food and being physically weak, maybe that would help them influence and make you even worse in your and your mental disability. So it's all, a lot of it is the fact that there are spirits that are trying to harm you. They can't harm you physically, but they can get you mentally so that you will then be harmed physically by your own decisions. And that's why you have to pray and meditate. And really, I mean, this is a tough trial because those spirits are after something, and they're after your downfall. And they, I'm sure they have a good reason. They're not doing it out of mere play. Some do, but most of the time, things like this serious, they have in their minds a good reason. And what we need to do is we need to get spirits to help you and them, so in their minds they understand that what they're doing is not productive for them or for you. When in the higher levels of heaven, in the spirit realm, can you visit the middle or low levels for fun, other pleasures, or do you have to stay in one level? So no, you don't stay in one level. Whatever level you are, you can visit that level and below. You can't go to higher levels, because to go to higher levels, the higher you go, the more, a higher ratio of energy to matter. And you go, if you go to that, try to go to that higher level, there's too much brightness and you don't feel comfortable and you don't want to go there. But you can certainly go anywhere in your level and below. So if you're, let's say, on the second level of heaven, you can go to the second level, the first level, the lower zone, and the dark abyss. And you can go and be invisible on those lower levels, they can't see you, or you can concentrate and make yourself more dense, and so people can see you. But usually you don't go just for fun, you go there to help other people. Okay, these have been great questions, by the way. Thank you for everyone participating. I'm actually a little bit over, and I just want to say bless for everyone who has been with me today. And again, if you'd like to understand the spirit realm, really who you are, what you are, you know, how you want to grow, I recommend kind of my book that kind of ties it all together. My other book dives deeper into it, like Heaven and Below, Spirits in the Spirit Universe, and How We're Guided by Spirits. But this one is, might be a good one to read after you've introduced yourself to Spiritism. And it's called The Spirit Realm. Spiritism has revealed the reality of our existence. So I want to say, everyone, God bless, and have a great rest of the week. God bless.